It is time for our parenting slot. David Carey joins us once again. David, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Before we get to the first question, David, there are a couple of speaking engagements as part of your continuing world tour. David Carey is the Led Zeppelin of parenting.
I am indeed. I'm on more tours than you two, even, you know. First one bringing me up to Artane for the Artane Kulak Family Resource Center. That's next Tuesday. And then traveling even farther afield to Dundrum out to Ashfield College next Thursday to talk about understanding the teenage mind.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, that's what it should be called. That comes after the colon. Understanding the teenage mind. Good luck with that.
Right. First question is on a child who's a bit younger. My 16-year-old is fighting me. 16-month-old is fighting me on a lot of things: nappy changes, going in the car seat, buggy, and sling. It's a physical battle to get her in. I don't think it's right to have to force her, but everyone says sometimes you just have to do these things. I don't want her to be the dictator of my family, but I don't want to be I don't want to be the dictator either. Is there another way? I try to do these things when she's not too tired. I try to use distraction, but not to great effect.
I think a lot of parents can identify with this one. 16-month-old, they're uncomfortable. You try to do it when she's not too tired. Well, you can't time nappy changes around the issue of a 16-month-old being tired or not. You don't want to be a dictator, but regrettably, you must force her into the car seat. Now, I'm just back from visiting my two daughters, and one of them has a 3.5-year-old, and we were doing lots of runs around and visiting, et cetera. And he has to go in the car seat, and boy, says, I was putting him in one time, and he didn't want to go.
Yeah.
He's 3.5, and
you know how they back archy thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna say that. Yeah. Back arched, leg stiff, screaming. But what can you do? I mean, you have to get them in. You try not to lose your cool and raise your voice, because that only disturbs and frightens the child more. So you just struggle and put it together. Same with nappy changes. You can't really anticipate when some of these things are going to happen. And it isn't about being a dictator. It's about being a responsible parent. If you can try distraction, it should work some of the time.
Mm.
Some children are, however, by temperament, very, very distressed by sensory stimulation. And that can be a dirty nappy or just touch, temperature of bath, being strapped in a car seat, which I can imagine isn't much fun. First of all, I had difficulty figuring out the modern car seat.
Yeah.
It's worse than...
You need a degree in engineering to put these things
together. Yeah, it's like how a pilot has to strap them in. And then I was trying to get the little... There's two straps that go in right around the child's groin, and I was thinking I'm probably crushing this child's testicles while trying to get it together.
He's
dressed up in snow suits and such a tight fit. I'm saying to his mother, Aaron, help me. I don't know how to do this one, you know? We didn't have those. Back then.
And there is they're in a car seat, they're strapped in, they're taken out of the car seat, and then they're strapped into another a buggy or whatever. And the lot of their time is being restrained.
Confined, yes. And in addition to which, it's cold weather, so they're wearing layers of clothes, zipped up, hats covering their ears. It must be terribly uncomfortable for them.
Mm.
I think it's no wonder that between these ages of infancy into toddlerhood, they just don't get distressed enough to lose the cool. As parents, you have to keep your cool. I wish I knew a way to help this parent.
Yeah.
Maybe some listener does. You just have to do what's right. It isn't deliberate. It's not personal. It's not the child having behavioral problems or whatnot. It's an infant 16 months old. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard for the infant, hard for the parents. The worst thing about it, I think, Sean, is that we all can identify with this. You're rushed sometimes. You have to go somewhere.
Mm.
You're behind schedule. You got to get the little one into the car, Getting them out of the house can be difficult. Find the shoes, put the shoes on, dress all the layers of clothes on them. Then find your purse, find your wallet. Where did I put the car keys? Stress, stress, stress. I think sometimes a cup of tea and a good laugh is just about all you can muster.
Yeah, you get everything ready. You get them strapped into the thing with the 17 layers of clothes. And then you pick up the car seat and then you go, oh, God, what's that smell?
Oh, that's the worst.
And everything has to be untangled, and back you go, and it's the size of their head.
Yeah, and I looked in the back of my daughter's car, in the back seat on the floor, and it looked like cattle had been feeding in there. And my daughter is the most meticulous OCD person in the world for house cleaning. If there's a crumb on a carpet, it won't stay there for more than 30 seconds, you know? Mm. But the car looks like the detritus of the Russian army has just been fed there. It's unnerving her because the kids are throwing food down and the wrappers and this, that. So another layer of difficulty and stress. As a parent, you need a good sense of humor and a decent understanding of they're just children. They're just infants. What's it like to be manhandled into a car seat? I don't think any adult would like that.
No, they wouldn't like that. But I suppose, say, for a lot of people who have kids that age, you feel like you're being mean to them, or it's, you know, you're damaging them some way by doing that. Now, as long as you're not physically damaging them, psychologically, I assume you're not.
No harm done whatsoever. 16 months, he'll never remember it.
Yeah, exactly.
Make some videos of it. Particularly his worst tantrums, because you'll be wanting to play those at his wedding sometime.
Yeah, I was handy for that. Mackie in Galway says, this isn't that useful, but kind of useful. I don't have a problem. Quite the reverse. My twins just started creche this week, and it's brilliant. Just putting this out there to let parents who are struggling know it does change. 4 hours to myself every day.
I love that. Well, I think, you know, a happy day. Monday was a happy day, wasn't it, for parents all over Ireland? Thank God they're back in school.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. adults being manhandled and forced into a seat. I think it's called being arrested, says the texter. Thanks for the personal story there. I'm taking the kids out of school for a week to go on holidays. They're 5 and 8. The teacher is not happy with this, but is it really doing any harm for 1 week?
Ah, poor teacher has to pretend that she or he isn't happy with this, you know? Is it doing any harm? Absolutely not. Is it doing them some good? Probably, depending on what you're doing with them. Most parents take children out of school for a week because they can avail of a cheaper flight and take them to Disney Paris or wherever they might be heading, or out to Tipperary to be with granddad and granny on the farm. I don't know. Mm. Harm done? No. Good for children? Yes. I have no problem with this. Absolutely none.
Yeah, 5 and 8, absolutely.
Go do it. It's primary school, for heaven's sake. There's nothing that important that happens in a week of primary school that will change the life of a child if they're not there for it.
Yeah. My 9-year-old daughter is a musical prodigy, in my humble opinion, and her music teachers, to be fair. But she has absolutely no confidence for performance, even in front of me. I have to listen from the next room to hear her. How can I get her to get confidence in this?
Boy, can I identify with this. Mm. For 8 consecutive years as a youngster, I took accordion lessons. And was made to perform in front of audiences, had to perform in competitions.
That's
solo,
horrific, David. That, all of that's horrific.
All of it, particularly the fact of playing the accordion.
The accordion, yes.
A gentleman is someone who can play the accordion but doesn't right? And I had such horrible stage fright and such horrific, crippling anxiety playing in front of people that I used to get physically sick and vomit. Mm. So I can really understand what this little girl is going through. My suggestion would be do not pressure, do not ask, do not demand. My mother was notorious if we had company. Go get your accordion and play something for us. You know, play the William Tell Overture or whatnot. Yeah. Oh, my God. Excruciating experiences. Playing before juries in competitions, I would always get physically sick on the way to the venue and vomit in the car. That was my way of getting revenge on my parents for making me do that. No pressure. Leave it between her and her music teacher. Music teachers are really good at knowing about the psychology of performance. Stage fright is a well-known phenomenon. Mm. I think it was Carol King, if I may be wrong on the name, had such crippling stage fright that she could not perform in public for years.
Really?
Many, many years, yes. Numerous professional musicians, actors, and performers get physically sick before a performance, but they can do it. Your daughter will learn. She will overcome this. She will have some small success experiences once she gets out there and does it. I think the worst thing you can do is say, play in front of Nana now. Nana's coming.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we want you to play your little piece. Don't do that to the child. Talk to music teacher. I'm fairly confident that I used to be one, by the way, a music teacher, will be able to help the child overcome performance anxiety and fears. Nothing succeeds like good rehearsal and good practice.
Yeah.
So that you master your piece before you must perform it.
My husband is determined, in my opinion, that our 2.5-year-old grows up quicker than he needs to. My 2-year-old is very advanced anyway and practically toilet trained himself at barely 2. He has excellent vocabulary, but now my husband doesn't want him to be carried or helped with feeding. I keep telling him to relax as he's only 2 and he will grow up fast enough given how quickly he has mastered other things. He occasionally looks for help with feeding and dressing and also asks to be carried when tired. My husband thinks he looks for assistance more than he needs to. We also have a 7-month-old, and since he came along, I think my husband sees the 2.5-year-old as more grown up than he actually is. How do I get my husband to listen to me, to understand what I'm saying? This isn't parenting. This is a marriage guy.
Marriage 101. Really. That last question is probably the plea of every woman who has a male partner in the world. You know, how do I get my husband to listen to me and to understand what I'm saying? I don't know that you can. I think it might be helpful for this gentleman to read up a little bit about child development, so what he can expect from a normally developing 2.5-year-old.
Yeah.
Comparisons between 2.5-year-olds and 7-months-old are like comparisons between apples and oranges. They're both fruit, but that's pretty much where the comparison can genuinely end. Sounds to me like Dad needs a little refresher course in child development. Maybe you and husband ring up Family GP, book a little appointment. Let's go in and talk about 2.5-year-old. Let's find out if 2.5-year-old is on schedule. I'm sure he is, maybe even a little bit ahead in some ways. And maybe the GP can be helpful to you. Certainly don't blame your husband, your partner. Don't get angry with him. He's doing the best he can to be a proper dad. Maybe, I don't know. Now, did he have younger sibs himself? Because if we grow up in the absence of any kind of a model of what young children's behavior is, we have no way of knowing what to expect. So cut down the frustration. Don't point fingers. Get some information. Lots of little good information sheets about 2.5-year-old behavior can be found on the internet. Very short, 1 or 2 pages. Leave them around the house. Maybe don't say, read this, because you need to learn.
It's an odd kind of a reaction to a 2.5-year-old. Ah, look, he's only faking. He's pretending to be tired.
It is an odd reaction. I would say it's based on, and I don't mean this pejoratively, ignorance.
Yeah.
In the sense that to not knowing exactly what to expect and making a false comparison. That's why I think sometimes going to a GP, you have to pay a little bit for the visit, but it can be really helpful because talking to the professional as opposed to trying to hash it out between the two of you can be very informative. And it's low threat. It's not stress. It's just getting information.
Yeah.
And I see nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Going back to that man handling the toddlers.
Oh, yeah.
I had the same thing with my toddlers as the texter. Tip, change nappies standing up and use pull-ups instead of nappies is much quicker. Actually, yeah, that does make sense. Of course, if you've got Poomageddon, it's still going to be a problem. I found it a great help with child and car seats was not to hold the child down, but only grab the strap between the legs. The child gives up fighting with the seat and not mammy's hands.
That wasn't my experience with my 3.5-year-old Liam, let me tell you. He fought the good battle till the bitter end.
This is the little girl who's good at music but still has the stage fright. I don't blame that child. I would play the piano at my parents' request for guests that came over. I didn't mind that. What I did mind, however, was my dad's amateur and frankly stupid critique of my performance, saying I was too fast, playing the wrong notes, etc., etc. He put me off playing in front of people for years. He did so much damage to my confidence. Leave it to her and she will play for you in time. Well, yeah. Maybe
that's
your father
a sad
was
story,
trying, yeah, maybe the father was trying to help, but, you know, was actually doing the opposite.
But
really,
that isn't helpful.
Yeah.
Not in front of other people.
No. No, absolutely.
That's really
not
damaging. That's what we call a public lynching.
Mm.
And we don't have that anymore. We don't have public executions.
Yeah.
And so children shouldn't be corrected or disciplined in front of others, except in extreme circumstances.
Yeah.
It's a dignity issue, if nothing else.
And listening to David talk about messy kids and cars, my sister-in-law's car is so messy that she ended up with mice nestled under the upholstery.
That's messy.
That is disgusting. You win the prize. David Carey is still with us for our parenting slot. One of the questions that David got was someone who said that they have two kids. One is 5, one is 8. They want to take them out of school for a week to go on holidays. You know, will this be a terrible thing to do? David didn't seem to think there was any great problem with it. Though we did get a text in from irate primary teacher saying flabbergasted at what David had to say about kids taking time off school. Such a wrong message to send out that children will not miss out on anything important in 1 week, except it's 5 days absence from a very short 183 days, completely undermines our profession. Says irate primary teacher who managed to take get the chance to listen to the radio at 3:20 in the afternoon. David, have you any response to that person's primary teacher?
I stand by everything I said. In fact, I used to take my children out for 2 or 3 days, if I could, myself and the missus, back in the day, a long time ago.
Mm.
And back then, teachers didn't seem to get irate about it. So, I don't think it does any harm. I think in primary school, nothing damaging will occur. If it undermines your profession, I'd say you have a very delicate view of your profession, that something like anything I said could undermine it.
Mm. Yeah, the person seems more concerned with the effect it has upon their profession rather than, you were asked about the effect it has on the kids rather than the profession.
Well, that's kind of unfortunately a stereotypical response sometimes from the teaching world, you know, where we're concerned about our image, et cetera. Yet, I could say a lot, but I'm going to keep my big yap shut.
So. Okay. Group performances can take the pressure out of it for kids. This is on stage fright and can be a bit more fun too, says the teacher. That's true.
That is
true. I know that with my own kids as well. Regarding struggle changing nappy, give the child a cream to rub on his knees or any leg bruises to distract him. While changing it. Also teach him how to climb into the car seat and then you just tie it. That might be, I assume it's, that's the distraction thing, though that original questioner said the distraction didn't seem to work.
You know, these modern car seats aren't that easy to hook up. That's what I found.
Yeah.
It's tight and uncomfortable. And
in fact, the child might have to show you how to hook it up after a while.
Well, at 16 months, they can't. But Liam was very quick to say, no, that's the wrong one.
I watched Sing Street the other night. This is a movie. And I feel like my two sons are just like the brothers. The eldest is a bit of a hippie and he's putting ideas into the 13-year-old's head about things like psychedelic music and art house movies. Should I be worried?
I haven't heard that expression in years. Art house movies.
Crikey,
back in
my
day, the only way you could see boobies on the screen was to go to an art house.
It's true.
You know, now it's all over television and whatnot. No, don't be worried. Your 13-year-old will form his own opinions or her own opinions.
Mm.
They're not under the Machiavellian influence of your hippie older child, whatever that means, bit of a hippie. Look, we're all different. We all have ideas. Children of age 13 are bombarded with ideas all day long. Just think of what happens when they enter the schoolyard. And they're talking amongst their mates and friends and acquaintances, et cetera, and all the information they hear. Some of it you would believe to be absolutely appalling to know that it's being put into their head. And they dismiss it because it doesn't have the valence, the weight that it does to us. We sometimes overinterpret these things and make them be far more heavier than they really are. I'd wager that the 13-year-old probably is just completely ignoring what the older one has to say and basically saying, oh, there he goes again. And what's she on about with these crazy movies? And what is a psychedelic movie, by the way?
Psychedelic
music. Yes.
Well, that would be music from sort of the 1970s and, where tracks would last 14 minutes.
But no one has the attention span to listen
to listen to that anymore. Well, I think it's brilliant that he's introducing him to these things. He's opening his mind to you know, because it's...
Well, it's like Moody Blues sort of stuff, is it? Knights in White Satin, is that...
Hark to the accordion player. Rip it up there. So, yeah, no harm. Anyway, we'll move on to the next question. I suppose this is, again, it's supposed to demonstrate that your children are always still your children, no matter what age they are. I have a son of 33 who became isolated during an abusive marriage. He depends on us, his family, for a social life and never goes out otherwise. I'm so worried about him. Please help.
Gosh, well, that does illustrate the point that they're always our children. We always worry about them. We always make some judgments. He's become isolated during an abusive marriage. I'm going to assume that means his marriage. And he depends a lot on his family for a social life, never goes out others. Well, it illustrates the fact that there's a very solid and secure attachment between this young adult, well, not so young adult, and his parents, which is a good and healthy thing.
Mm.
He's obviously achieving a lot of comfort, support, and nurturing, which he must apparently need very badly. Is this a transitory thing, or has that been going on year after year after year? Is he happy in his life? Is he becoming a burden on the family? These are the things to kind of weigh and consider here. If you feel that he's around too much and you're not getting enough of your own adult space and time because of an adult child being very needy, then you need to sit down and talk to him about it and see if there are solutions. Maybe he requires some counseling intervention. I don't know. Should you be worried? Well, you know, so worried, I don't know. You need to always think of the entire context here. Does he have a job? Is he working? Is he eating properly? Is his health good? Does he appear to be distressed? Is his sleep pattern appropriate for a 33-year-old? If the answer to all these things is yes, yes, everything's okay, then you have less to worry about.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, if he's unhealthy and looks sallow and withdrawn and in poor health, then there may be something to be worried about. I would really want to look at the whole context here before I came to any conclusion.
Now, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it sounds like he, because they say became isolated during an abusive marriage. So it sounds like maybe he had a social life, he had friends,
yeah,
but those ties broke down and the only friends he has now are his family after that marriage came to an end, which I suppose is a worry. You'd want to see him go out and live his life again.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes we need time to heal too. Now,
When did
this happen?
Yeah.
Is it recent? Has it been years? How long does it take to grieve and suffer for the loss of a dream because the dissolution of a marital bond or a partnership is the loss of a dream you once held?
Yeah.
You know, the happy ever after stuff at the altar, I do. And it takes time. And people hurt and they struggle. And maybe that's where this young fellow's at.
Yeah.
Just stand by him. If you're really worried, express your concern. Tell him you're worried about him.
Yeah.
Cite the evidence. Talk about what you see and what you hear. And don't overinterpret it. Because he can probably accept your input if you just talk about the observable facts. You're over here all the time. You haven't been out with anybody. It's been months now. Son, is there something wrong? Can we do anything to help you? We love you so much. We want you to be back to where you were. Do you need some help getting back there? I think if you express it that way, he'll open up a little bit.
Yeah, let's hope
Hopefully.
So.
Hopefully.
Still a lot of reaction coming in from the piece of advice that David gave earlier on to the person who wanted to take their kid out of school. That we did get a text in from irate primary school teacher. One person says, can you tell irate primary school teacher to chill out? It's only primary school. Travelling is so important for the younger and older minds. Tell David he's right. Another person says, there's only there is only a problem with taking children out of school for holidays if those children already have poor attendance, and particularly if coupled with a poor educational support at home. That's from a teacher in a day school. My good wife would say, unofficially, of course, that there's nothing majorly wrong with taking one's kids out of school for a few days midterm to take advantage of cheaper flights, so long as it wasn't abused, and wouldn't recommend it in September. when the kids are settling in. And now I'm assuming the good wife there is a teacher herself. Yeah. Fire away, take them on holiday, and when it snows, give them a magical day off. There are the things they'll remember from childhood.
That's very true.
Yeah. And I'm a primary teacher. No problem taking children out for a holiday. It's very educational. And Jimmy, nothing goes past Jimmy, says, I think the fact that that teacher pointed out that they only work 195 days a year is the more damning aspect of the text.
I was going to say that, Jimmy.
Tell the mother with the Sing Street kids to make sure they don't have a boat in Dunleary Pier. Spoiler alert there if you haven't seen the film, unfortunately. And finally, someone's texted in to say, I'm lying in bed, a man in my 30s with no kids, trying to stretch my earlobes to fit huge plugs in an agony, but loving listening to David.
Well, I'm sorry you're in agony, for heaven's sake. Get over the ear earphones.
Yeah, but he's struggling to fit huge plugs. There you go. That's when accordion playing can go horribly wrong.